It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Sandy Rios and the morning. Glad to be with you this morning. My name is Walker Wildman, and I am sitting in for Sandy Rios this Tuesday morning. Sandy will be back in the captain's chair tomorrow. But until then, you got me, Walker Wildman, here with you. Glad to be with you. For those who don't know, I'm a vice president of operations here at American Family Association and American Family Radio. And I also co-host Today's Issues on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And then I have a weekend show called Exposing Washington here on American Family Radio. Glad to have you with us this Tuesday morning, February 26th it is. Sandy Rios in the Morning is the show. American Family Radio is the network. To find out more information about the show and to listen to past shows, you can visit our website, AFR.net, AFR.net on the World Wide Web. And if you would like to download our app, you can do that also. Just go to the App Store on your smartphone or your tablet device. Type in American Family Radio. You can download the app there and listen 24/7 so long as you have an internet connection. So a lot of good ways to access the show. And lastly, you can follow Sandy on Facebook. Just type in Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook, and you can catch some of the news stories we talk about today on the Facebook page there. So as I mentioned, a lot of things going on today. President Trump is in Vietnam. I would want to bet he's already landed by now. He departed the U.S. yesterday afternoon, so I'm almost certain that he's landed in Vietnam to meet with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. This is their second summit, and from this summit, we'll hopefully get an idea of where this is going to go, you know, because the whole goal here, and let's not forget, the entire goal here is for Kim Jong-un to give up his nuclear weapons, because this guy is whacked out. And you saw that a year ago. I mean, the guy's firing missiles over Japan, a sovereign country. He's firing missiles over Japan. This guy is unstable. And, well, I don't even know if it's intentional or if he's unstable. I think he might just be doing it just for the heck of it. He may be actually a pretty stable and smart guy, but his actions appear unstable. And so that's Kim Jong-un there in North Korea. So, you know, as I mentioned yesterday, look, here's what the news media is going to, I'm going to go ahead and predict it. Here's what they're going to say in 2 days. After President Trump finishes the summit in North Korea, they're going to come out, the media, and they're going to say, President Trump is just not gaining any ground. Kim Jong-un hasn't given up anything. You know, this is a loss for President Trump. This is a diplomatic loss for President Trump. His strategy is not working. He's going to have to change his strategy. So I'm just telling you that they're already warming that talking point up. They're already warming it up. Because why? Because they want to see President Trump lose. No matter whether it's domestically, internationally, they want President Trump to lose. And so they paint the narrative, and they warm up the narrative before it's even come to pass. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. And so that's what the media is going to do, mark my word. But look, President Trump has, and this is another thing I said yesterday, President Trump has forced some of these countries to come to the negotiating table, and guess what he's given up? Nothing. President Trump has not given up anything to North Korea. Nothing. And you compare this with past presidents, for goodness sake, President Obama was paying our enemies to come to the negotiating table. And as they were at the negotiating table, they were shouting death to America. That's what Iran was doing. And so President Trump has forced North Korea's hand, forced them to the negotiating table, and he's given up nothing, and he's actually gotten a few things in return. Number one, they stopped firing missiles. Number two, they gave up all of the prisoners. All of the American citizens that were in prison in North Korea have returned home. And thirdly, they returned the remains of our veterans. They returned the remains of our veterans to our homeland here for the families. So President Trump's gotten a couple things out of this, and we've given North Korea nothing. As a matter of fact, the sanctions are still on. The sanctions are still on North Korea. So we, as a country, we need to be hopeful that President Trump succeeds over there. I mean, even if it were President Obama, we need to be hopeful that he succeeds, whoever our president is, succeeds in foreign policy. But we also need to be careful that our administration doesn't give up too much and start negotiating and paying ransom like President Obama did. But I have faith in President Trump and Secretary of State Pompeo that they'll do the right thing there. Another note about, you know, some things going on in Washington, D.C., President Trump late last week issued a final rule. The Department of Health and Human Services issued a final rule that bans Title X grants from going to abortion providers like Planned Parenthood. And so this is great news, and it begs the question, and somebody brought this up around the office yesterday, where were the past presidents on this? Where was President Bush on this? Nowhere to be found. And so President Trump, his administration issued a rule last week that bans Title X grants from going to Planned Parenthood. And so those Title X grants, that's tax dollars, folks. That's tax dollars. It's grant money. And so this new rule prevents that money from going to Planned Parenthood. It's roughly about $60 million. It's about $60 million in Title X grants. So that's good news. And now I will say we're not done yet. We've got to completely end abortion in this country, and then we can claim victory. We've got to completely defund these abortion baby-killing mills like Planned Parenthood. And until we do that, we're not going to claim victory. So we got until the last baby is saved in this country, we're not stopping on this effort. And this is a long fight, folks. This is a long fight. And you know, one thing that these baby killers don't want to talk about is if you were to say to them, you know, y'all are for killing babies up to the 40th week, they won't dispute that. They will not dispute that. They may go into this whole spew about how, well, that's not a baby, it's blah, 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 which is hogwash. But, like, for example, Hillary Clinton in 2016, during the last debate in October of 2016, President Trump said on the debate stage that Hillary Clinton is for killing babies up to the last day until before they're born. And guess what Hillary Clinton said? Nothing. She did not dispute that. She did not dispute that. And I wasn't planning on going in this order, but I'm just gonna stay on this abortion topic, folks, because this is a big deal. And I genuinely think that history will look back on this at some point, and it will be viewed as the Holocaust on steroids. And that's not an overstatement. And that's not to downplay what happened in the Holocaust at all. But I'm just saying this, we're at 70 million babies who've been ripped out of their mother's womb, and we're still going. And we're still going. So I genuinely believe that this will go down as the Holocaust 2.0, or the Holocaust on steroids. And another example of this, you know, we had the North Carolina, not North Carolina, we had the Virginia governor, Northam is his last name, Governor Northam of Virginia, a couple weeks ago. He was on a radio show talking about some abortion, some baby killing legislation in Virginia. And he basically said that under that legislation, should it become law, the baby could be born, the baby could be placed on an operating table, and then the doctor and the mother could decide what to do with it. In essence, that's what he said. So let's deliver the baby alive, let's set it on a cold operating table while it cries and gasps for air, and then let's talk to the mom and see if we want to kill it or not. That's basically what they're talking about here. And I know some of you are uncomfortable with this topic. I get letters saying we need to be careful how we talk about this, but we got to talk about it. We've got to talk about it. Because I'll guarantee you, when Hitler was slaughtering the Jews, people were probably having the same conversations. Oh, I just can't stand hearing that. Oh, that's gruesome. But it's happening. Let's talk about it. We can watch R-rated movies where people are murdered in movies and we don't even flinch. We don't even bat an eye. We watch the most, our country watches the most gruesome movies, and we can't talk about how we're killing babies. We can't talk about how we're killing babies, so we got to talk about this, folks. We got to talk about it, because if we whitewash it and simplify it down and use terms like pro-choice and pro-abortion, then we're totally missing the point. We're totally missing the point, and we're not doing the babies justice. We're not doing the babies justice who've been killed. One story in line with this is from, this is from FoxNews.com, but this couple in Idaho is suing Planned Parenthood, which you would think is a good thing, but this is disturbing on both ends. This couple is suing Planned Parenthood for child support after a failed abortion. I mean, you talk about the height of callousness, selfishness, for both Planned Parenthood and this couple. This Idaho couple drove to a Planned Parenthood in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and to avoid the mandatory waiting period, which that's, this is sick, folks. And the, let's see here. The Planned Parenthood tried to give her this poison pill, which is what it is, that poisons the baby. And the pill failed. They gave her the poison pill. She went home, and the pill did not work. And her son, I believe it was her son. Yes, her son. She was 6 weeks pregnant, by the way. That's about the time when a heartbeat begins. Her son was born. He's now 2 years old, and he has problems. And you want to know why he has problems? Because they tried to kill him. He didn't naturally have defects. But they tried to kill him. And now he's 2 years old. And this is just one story out of many. And so this selfish, that's a nice word, this selfish, heartless couple is suing Planned Parenthood for child support because they didn't want the baby. And so these stories, this is not a one-off in some foreign country. This is America. This is what's happening in our country. And so we got to stop it. And how do we stop it? We stop it by either getting Congress to act or having the Supreme Court rule on an abortion case. And I think we're going to have that happen in the next few years. But that's one reason that who sits on the Supreme Court is so important. That's why who President Trump appoints to the Supreme Court is so important. Because they can either affirm life or they can continue the killing. That's what these Supreme Court justices have the power to do, like it or not. Sandy Rios in the morning. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Hello, I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, on our spiritual heritage tour of Washington, D.C., we go to the Supreme Court. That's one of the places we go on day one. and we visit the inside chambers. We go to where the justices sit. And it's an amazing place to visit, the Supreme Court of the United States. We don't just look at the outside. We go to the inside and see where the justices sit and where oral arguments are heard. So that's just one of the places we visit on one of the days. We're in Washington, D.C., and we also go to Mount Vernon, the home of George and Martha Washington. So we're going in September. June's full. September will be filling up soon. If you want more information on this Spiritual Heritage Tour, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
This is Pause to Pray, a moment each day to pray for our country's leaders.
Today we pray for President Trump as he prepares to meet this week with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. The president is working toward negotiating the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula, as well as a peace treaty to officially end the Korean War. Romans 12:18 reminds us of the importance of pursuing peace. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, we ask you to guide President Trump as he prepares to meet with Kim Jong-un. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. Bill Maher has a problem with Middle America. That story next.
Truett McConnell University.
So my name is Atara. I'm a senior and my major is psychology. I love Truett. Maybe a lot of other schools out there. You can go to bigger schools. You can go to schools that's way far away from home. But in the end, one of the things that I realize is that God called me here, and that's why Truett is the perfect place for me. And if God called you here, then it's the perfect place for you also.
Are you called? Visit Truett.edu today.
Bill Maher, the host of HBO's Real Time, says deep down, people who live in red states secretly want to live in cosmopolitan blue states.
There are two Americas, and it seems like one is where all the cool jobs are, where people drive Teslas and eat artisanal ice cream. We have orchestras and theater districts and world-class shopping. We have Chef Wolfgang Puck. They have Chef Boyardee.
Bill Maher seems to believe those of us who live in red states are a bunch of toothless rednecks who wear overalls and drink moonshine. But in reality, we're a pretty sophisticated bunch, smart enough to live in states without an income tax. And for what it's worth, the blue state can keep Wolfgang Puck, because we've got Paula Deen. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios in the morning. Glad to have you back with us on the show. American Family Radio is the network. My name is Walker Wildman, and I'm sitting in for Sandy Rios this morning. You can visit our website, AFR.net, AFR.net to listen live. And you can also catch Sandy Rios on Facebook and just type in Sandy Rios on her Facebook page. Before we jump back into this whole baby killing topic, which is not a pleasant topic. I don't come in, you know, just excited to talk about this, but we've got to talk about it. We've got to do the babies justice, and we've got to talk about this, so we're going to talk about it. The two events that I want to note here is this. In Fayetteville, North Carolina, those in the North Carolina area, we're having an In God We Trust town hall meeting there this Thursday, just in 2 days, on February 28th, an In God We Trust town hall meeting there in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And you can find out more information by visiting our website, afa.net/Fayetteville. afa.net/Fayetteville. That's how you can visit the website and register and find out more information there. February 28th in Fayetteville, North Carolina at 6:30 p.m. And I'm not going to tell you the location on purpose because I want you to go to the website, register, get the address, get all the information you need, and that way we know you're coming. That way we have a head count on who's coming February 28th, 6:30 p.m. in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Last time I mentioned this, afa.net/Fayetteville is the web link to fill out the registration form. And one other event we're having in Oklahoma, I believe. Adam, I'm talking to our producer here. Adam, the foundation website, I'm having trouble. Okay, now Adam's running, so I didn't even get to tell him what I wanted, so hopefully he knows.
Yeah,
but anyways, I'm going to get the foundation information. Adam's bringing it in now, so I can tell folks about this event. Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it. So the foundation, AFA Foundation is a division of the American Family Association. They help out with charitable gift annuities, wills, estates, things like that. The AFA Foundation will be in, you know, here we go. Okay, sorry. I'm having trouble. Sorry, Adam. The event will be in Edmond, Oklahoma. I knew it was on here. I just couldn't find it. Edmond, Oklahoma is where this AFA Foundation Town Hall event will be. Dan Celia will be there along with my brother Wesley Wildman. They'll be there in Edmond, Oklahoma, when you ask, March 7th. March 7th, which I believe is next Thursday, AFA Foundation, Dan Celia, Wesley Wildman, my brother, will be in Edmond, Oklahoma on March 7th. How can you register? You can visit afafoundation.net, afafoundation.net, or you can call our headquarters here in Tupelo, Mississippi. We'll be glad to get you registered. Back on this abortion topic, you know, I mentioned the good news about President Trump. President Trump defunding abortion providers through Title X, which is a portion of the money. It's not all of the money. Planned Parenthood receives roughly $500 million in taxpayer money each year. So this is about $60 million of it, so a little under about one-sixth of the money. But another story I want to talk about, and this is from Breitbart.com, and that is, you know, Planned Parenthood, they couch this in deceitful terms, extremely deceitful terms. They claim that, you know, abortion is rare at their clinics. That's not a primary procedure at their clinics. You know, they're helping save women's lives. But that all of that is an absolute farce. It's smoke and mirrors. It's deceitful, and people buy into it. And so Planned Parenthood, there's nothing about Planned Parenthood, folks, that's life-saving. There is nothing about Planned Parenthood that's life-saving. And to my point here, folks that are much more educated, much more versed on this than me would be doctors. And guess what I've seen multiple doctors say? Multiple doctors who deliver babies, they've said, there is absolutely no circumstance in the third trimester at which an abortion is necessary. Absolutely no instance in their career. I saw a delivery doctor who's delivered like thousands of babies over the course of his career, and he said there's not one instance where a third-term abortion is needed to save the life of the mother or save the life of the baby. Now, could there need to be an emergency delivery? Of course. That's actually not that uncommon. An emergency delivery? Yes, we save the baby. But an abortion needed in the third trimester, it's absolutely unnecessary, and it's actually a hoax to think that's somehow a thing to kill babies in the third trimester to save the mother. But you're not going to hear that on the evening news. But I want to move on to a couple other topics. You know, I talked yesterday about how the left, how the Democrats, how the liberals, how they have to make up these fake hate crimes in order to push their narrative. And this is not just the whole Jussie Smollett, the ABC actor in Chicago, where he paid people to attack him and managed to write a check to them to pay them for their services. I mean, this was absolutely, this should be on like the, you know, they have the cop videos on TV where they basically they show the dumbest suspects or the dumbest criminals. Well, Jussie Smollett would probably fall into that category. You write a check to the people who help you commit the crime, which they did commit a crime, that is lying to police officers, and, you know, and then you text them after and say, thank you for participating. And you text them before saying, here's what I want you to do. All that, folks, this is what you need to understand. First off, I don't recommend faking crimes and filing false police reports and sending fake mail, because that's a felony. But here's what I would recommend. No, I'm not even going to get into this. I'm not going to be giving tips to criminals here on radio. That's probably not a good idea, because somebody's going to call me and say that I'm helping criminals carry out fake hate crimes. So I'm not even going to giving them tips. But anyways, there were so many missteps here. I mean, this was a no-brainer for these cops. And it also shows that these police departments, folks, they don't play. These police departments do not play games. Chicago police, I'll almost guarantee you, Chicago Police Department had this figured out in like 2 days. They had this figured out so fast. They probably subpoenaed his text messages. They probably subpoenaed his location for his phone. They pulled all the surveillance video. I mean, they had this thing figured out in 2 days, I would almost guarantee you, because there's so much surveillance. There's so much recording. There's so much, honestly, there's not that much privacy anymore. So Jussie Smollett, it looks like he's going to go to jail for what he did. But back to my original point here, I got sidetracked. This is a story out of Breitbart.com. It's the title is Hate Hoax. Prosecutors charge LGBT activists with burning down own home with pets inside. And so this let's see what the person is. Goodness, you know, there's all these pronouns. All right, a transgender man, which is a biological female. If we want to stick with science here, a biological female who wants to think she's a man in Jackson, Michigan, burned down her own home, killing 5 pets inside, in what was initially investigated by the FBI as an alleged hate crime in 2017. The newspaper, the local Detroit News, citing two individuals who worked along Jolly at St. John's United Church of Christ, where the Jackson Pride Center is based from. Boy, that's a problem. We got a sexual deviancy Pride Center in the Church of Christ, but I digress. They reported, these two witnesses reported, that Jolly, who's 54 years old, had become, quote, frustrated. The controversy over gay rights had died down with the passage of non-discrimination laws, end quote. So they get what they want. They get the non-discrimination laws. They get Obergefell. And then they have to stage their own hate crimes to get attention. And so this happens. There's dozens of examples of these activists faking hate crimes to look like the victim. And then the local police department figures out that it's a hate crime, or I'm sorry, that it's a fake hate crime, a fake crime, and then some of these people go to jail, thankfully. You shouldn't be able to lie to police and file false police reports and get away with it. But on the same topic, kind of, is the Democrats. So here's the thing with the Democrats. They don't really have much going for them other than they hate President Trump. They don't really have much going for them except for they hate President Trump. And the only way Democrats can maintain power is if they promote victimhood, identity politics, and constant class warfare. This is the only way that the Democrats can maintain power, because they have no like progressive agenda. And I know that sounds ironic, because that's what they tout themselves as, progressives. But if you look at the word progressive, it's moving forward, and moving forward in a good way. But the Democrats are taking our country backwards. They're taking our country backwards, not in a good way. And so, you know, the Democrats, they have no real, like, legislative platform that's for the American people. They want to repeal the tax cuts, and you want to tell me how that's going to poll on the campaign trail? You know, they want to repeal the tax cuts. They want to impeach Brett Kavanaugh. And they want to do this new Green Deal. And by the way, speaking of the new Green Deal, look, I've been going 35 minutes. I hadn't even played a clip. Shame on me. I made Adam get up this morning really early and put these clips together, and I'm sitting here not even playing them. So I'm going to play a clip. We're going to play, this is Kamala Harris, clip two. This is Kamala Harris, and here's what she says when CNN asks her about the price of this Green New Deal. She downplays it as, this is a good investment, and oh yes, we've got $93 trillion to pay for it. Clip two, let's listen.
Can we afford it?
Of course we can afford it.
$2.5-3 trillion a year for Medicare for All by some studies. Depending on which portions of the Green New Deal you pick to do first, that's money. That you know what the Republicans are going to say, tax and spend liberals, pie in the sky.
One of the things that I admire and respect is the measurement that is captured in three letters, ROI. Mm-hmm. What's the return on the investment? People in the private sector understand this really well. It's not about a cost, it's about an investment. And then the question should be, is it worth the cost in terms of the investment potential? Are we going to get back more than we put in?
Well, there you have it. Senator Kamala Harris, who's running for president, also says, of course we can pay for it. Of course we can afford it. And then she goes on to talk about ROI. And she goes, yeah, you know, the private sector would understand this. Yeah, but the Democrats want to abolish the private sector. They want to take over the private sector. They want to take over the means of production. Guess what that's called? Socialism. Can you say Venezuela? That's exactly what the Democrats want to do here, folks. Let's not kid ourselves. So Senator Harris there says, oh yeah, the return on investment will be great. Oh yeah, $93 trillion in debt over 10 years. You heard me right. $93 trillion over the course of 10 years added to our deficit. That's what the return on investment is, Senator Harris. And so, you know, this is really, you talk about a whacked out proposal. That's what this Green New Deal is. I mean, it's absolutely ludicrous. They want to knock out air travel. they want to rebuild every building in the country to make it, quote, energy efficient. And you know what they won't talk about? And you know what won't be asked of them? CNN's not going to ask this. So, Senator Harris, what about all the millions of trees you're going to have to knock down to rebuild all the buildings in our country? Because we got to have the wood from somewhere. Or, Senator Harris, what about all the forest that we're going to have to destroy to run the high-speed train from Memphis to New York? Oh, no, we can't talk about that. We're not going to talk about that. That's, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. That's what the Democrats don't answer tough questions. But their plans are absolutely idiotic. And that's what this Green New Deal is. You know, I don't know whether they're serious about this or if this is just a sideshow. I have no idea, but I dare Senator Harris to go talk to the private sector about return on investment. They're going to say this is a bad idea. $93 trillion in debt, and we wipe out probably a quarter of America's jobs. Any job that emits emissions or that puts out emissions, then we've got it eliminated. All the coal workers, all the people on the oil rigs, you know, all the truck drivers driving 18-wheelers, all of our pilots driving flying planes across the country, all of them would be out of a job, and I mean this would be the end of our economy. This would be the end of our economy as we know it. One last topic I want to talk about. We're going to take calls 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Call in. I'll be glad to talk to you about any of the things I talked about on the show today. You know, the media is talking about how, you know, if President Trump declares a national emergency, it's going to set bad precedent. Well, guess what, folks? There's been over 50 national emergencies since the 1970s, and there's 28 of them still active. There's 28 national emergencies still active. So this whole idea that national emergencies are rare and should rarely be used, no, they're used all the time. I think President Clinton used 17 national emergencies. So President Trump is well within his rights to use a national emergency to build the wall. Sandy Rios in the morning. We'll be back with your calls after the break.
And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. The Supreme Court will hear oral arguments tomorrow over a cross-shaped memorial in Maryland. In 1925, the American Legion dedicated the Bladensburg World War I Veterans Memorial because mothers who lost their sons in Prince George's County, Maryland, decided to erect this memorial to mimic the gravestones of their sons' burial sites in Europe. Because of its cross shape, the American Humanist Association sued, saying it violated the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment. This case gives the court an opportunity to correct the course of Establishment Clause jurisprudence and deliver a resounding victory for religious liberty in America.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
This generation is different. Everything is smartphoney. Everything is appy. You know, it's all about the quick access to information and short attention spans and all the rest. But it seems to me that another way that we can have a very big impact on our culture is to outthink the culture. You cannot be a good thinker as a Christian. And is this not a command of God that we are to love the Lord with all of our mind and not just our heart, soul, and strength? Join me for Janet Mefford Live, weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
Hey, want to go shopping later?
Yeah, sure. Where you want to go?
Oh, we can go to JCPenney's, Belk, Target.
Whoa, wait. I was with you until you said Target.
What's wrong with Target?
What's wrong with Target? You mean besides the fact that they have an open door policy that lets men into women's restrooms, that Target?
Wait, what?
Exactly. As a matter of fact, before we go, grab your laptop, go to AFA.net, and sign the pledge to boycott Target.
Okay, I'm on it.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. The Supreme Court will hear a case this week challenging the constitutionality of the Bladensburg Peace Cross. It was erected in Maryland in 1925 to honor the memories of 49 local men who gave their last measure of devotion during World War I. Humanists are challenging it before the Supreme Court as a violation of the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment. But this is flatly and historically impossible. The First Amendment only binds Congress. As its very first word states, Congress shall make no law regarding an establishment of religion. Well, Maryland is not Congress, and a cross is not a law. Only Congress can violate the Establishment Clause by picking one Christian denomination and making it the official church of the United States. If we use the Constitution as written, it's impossible for Maryland to violate the First Amendment.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Today, the House of Representatives will vote to disapprove President Trump's declaration that the porousness of our southern border and its exploitation by criminals, terrorists, hostile nations, and countless others constitutes a national emergency. The president's assessment has just been challenged by 60 mostly Democratic former national security officials in a letter clearly intended and timed to influence congressional efforts to repudiate him. These partisans would have you believe them rather than your own eyes. For example, please ignore the fact that 70,000 Americans die yearly from drugs smuggled across our open border. If those illegally entering the country from Mexico by the hundreds of thousands each year would in due course vote Republican, they'd probably see things differently. National security and public health and safety require a secure border. And yes, the reality that we don't have one constitutes an emergency. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios in the Morning is the show. Walker Wildman here with you, guest hosting for Sandy Rios. Sandy will be back on the air tomorrow a.m. tomorrow morning. So glad to have you with us. American Family Radio is the network. AFR.net is the website. We're going to take calls. The number to call in is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We're going to go to Doug in Iowa. Doug, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Hey, Walker. Good morning. Hey, might I start with saying may God continue to bless you and your family for what you guys do.
Thank you, Doug. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Now, my thought was with Kamala Harris, maybe she might think it's a good idea to not put any more carbon into the atmosphere while she's running for president and use modes of transportation that don't use diesel fuel.
You know, Doug, that's a brilliant idea.
Any kind of fuel.
Yeah, you know, Doug, and speaking of that, Doug, did you see where Senator Bernie Sanders spent like $900 million flying on private jets?
I haven't seen that, to be honest. I don't listen to the news that much.
But, yeah, but to your point, Doug, and I appreciate you calling in, to your point, you know, last night I was watching Tucker Carlson last night on Fox News, and he was asking one of these far lefties, you know, well, why don't y'all just lead the charge? Why doesn't Hollywood and the elites in Washington, D.C. and New York, why don't y'all lead the charge? If you will all stop flying private jets around the world, then we can start having a legitimate debate about how we should emit carbon. But until then, and then he wouldn't answer the question. He wouldn't answer the question. He wouldn't give a legitimate answer because there isn't a legitimate answer. Here's what the left wants to do. They want to take over the economy. They want to regulate to no ends the private sector. They want to make all of us ride our bikes to work, and then they're going to ride their limousine to work. That's what they want to do. I think that there's a phrase out there called limousine liberals. That's what they do. They fly their private jets. They drive their four Suburbans with escorts into work, and then they want all of us to ride bikes and electric vehicles. Ain't gonna do it. Ain't gonna do it. It's America. I'll ride whatever I want to ride to work. We're gonna go to Katrina in the state of Virginia. I think Katerina. Welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Hi, good morning, Walker. Thank you so much for having me.
Did I get your name?
My name is Carolina.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. I tried.
No, it's fine. It's hard to say.
I tried.
No, I know it's hard to say.
Hey,
it's
go ahead.
I'm Carolina, and I'm calling.
Sure. Share your thoughts.
I am saddened to say I'm calling from the state of Virginia. I used to call it the great state of Virginia until this governor opened his mouth. Hmm. We've had plenty of bad governors, but never have we had a governor who so eagerly endorses infanticide and the murder of newborn babies, not to mention unborn babies. I thank you so much for bringing up that point of abortion. I think that Christians do need to be more active in this area. I think that babies and human beings are being slaughtered right under our noses, and we're not saying anything. And it grieves my heart to think that people are just walking around like indifferent almost, saying what can they do? So I'm glad people like you bring things up like that, because we need to rise up and truly be the people of God and truly go out and save these babies.
Amen.
Because they're souls that the Lord has created and should not be destroyed. And then with regards to immigration, I live, yo soy Latina, and I lived in many states like Florida. My father was a pilot, so I got to live in Florida in the border of Texas. And I saw the difference in between cities that have a lot of immigrants, both legal and illegal, and a city that has or a state that has more control over that. And when I lived in Texas, I lived in San Antonio. And we had major issues with gangs, MS-13, with the Bloods, the Crips, because there's a lot of immigrant children that are brought here and not really raised because their parents, if they raise them at all, are very busy working.
Right.
And there's a lot of, you know, problems that are brought in from other countries, disease. And we really do have to adhere to the law, the rule of law. I applaud President Trump for the stances he's taken in that.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. You know, I read stories, Katerina, about how actually some of the people in the Latino community, especially the people who came here illegally, they actually don't like illegal immigration because oftentimes it takes some of their jobs. Is that kind of the sentiment that you've heard?
It is. It is. It tends to be, obviously, there are different Latinos in different socioeconomic brackets, but yes. A lot of people that are here and that are here legally and are proud to be here legally resent the fact that these people that are just kind of hopping across the border, and I saw this a lot in Texas, just to, you know, give birth to a baby and claim it as American, they come here with their hand out, and they think America is going to give them everything. Mm. And they have, you know, maybe very low expectations of what they have to contribute to this country.
Sure.
And I really love this country. And when my family came here, my father, one of the first things, and for good or for bad, he made us resign and do away with our Honduran citizenship because he said, Now that you're here in America, he said, you're loyal to one country. He said, you're loyal to America.
Wow.
And I look back on that and I think, wow, you know, it sucked then because I thought, oh, but I want dual citizenship.
Right.
But at the same time, I am proud that he encouraged us to be loyal to this nation that
Amen.
Has given our family so very much.
Amen. Well, I thank you for calling in and keep listening to AFR there in Virginia. Hey, look, we got some fighters out there. We got some fighters out there in Virginia and across the country. So that's good to hear. Appreciate you for calling in. I'm going to go to Marie in Oklahoma. Marie, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Oh, okay. On this abortion thing, now I'm not threatening you, I promise. But if I come up there and I shoot you, I'd go to prison, right?
I would hope so. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, why can't we prosecute people that are killing babies?
Well, I mean, that's a really good question, Marie. Really good question.
Why can't they, you know, if I go out and do this to you and do this dirt to you, I go to prison.
You're
Why
exactly
can't they
right.
go to prison?
You know, and to your point, Marie, many of the state laws, and actually some of these baby killing states are changing these laws, tragically, but many of the states across the country have laws that if a pregnant woman is killed or dies in a car accident to like a drunk driver or things like that, that they can actually be prosecuted for a double homicide. They can be prosecuted for a double homicide. So to your point, Marie, why aren't we prosecuting doctors who kill babies? You know, why are we having a double standard there? So very good point there. And, you know, we're going to have to change our laws. And this is the whole problem with Roe v. Wade and the Supreme Court and things like that is they threw a wrench into our whole legal system to where we have laws that contradict each other. And so hopefully our country will get to a day where we prosecute people who kill babies, whether they're in the womb or out of the womb. It should not matter. It's an innocent human life. Robert in Ohio. Robert, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Well, thank you so much for taking my call. I appreciate you doing that, and also I appreciate AFR so much. I guess mine is I had not heard much on the news about the Senate failing to go to cloture as far as for the Born Alive Protection Act.
Yes.
I guess it failed like 53 to 45.
Sure.
And all Republicans voted for it. I guess Lisa Murkowski was absent. She didn't vote. That's not a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
But one of my technical questions is, let's say the baby's born alive. That is no longer a mother's issue, per se. Is that person not now a U.S. citizen and entitled to all the rights and protections thereof?
Well, you know, Robert, you'd think so. You would think so. And that was what this bill was going to address. And so, Robert, how about this? I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to talk about this bill for about 2 minutes because you're right. I should have talked about it. So what Robert's talking about there, and I appreciate him bringing it up. I got so sidetracked on other stuff. But the Senate last night, the U.S. Senate, brought up this bill called the Born Alive Abortion Survivor Protection Act. I know it's a mouthful, but what this bill would do is it would criminalize doctors and physicians who when an abortion is not successful, when they don't kill the baby and the baby is born right after the abortion, this law would require that they give medical treatment to try to save the life of the baby. That's all this bill did. That's all this bill did, is it was a step at preventing infanticide. And so that this bill is very simple, and you would think you would get unanimous consent in the U.S. Senate. But the Senate voted 53 to 44 for the bill, but they need 60 votes. They needed 60 votes, and this gets into the whole 60-vote debate, which I'm so fed up with. And it's too late now. The Democrats control the House. But we had conservatives, Republicans, controlled the House, the Senate, and the White House for 2 years, and we did not do this. And so I'm not going to sit here and keep blaming Democrats when Republicans are equally responsible for this mess. Democrats tell us they're for killing babies. Republicans tell us they're pro-life, but they don't do anything about it. And so
Here's what, and some will say, well, you know, they just didn't have the votes. No, that's a bunch of bull. That's a bunch of bull. You don't want to know why? They didn't have the votes because they didn't want the votes. Right after President Trump was elected, we had 52 seats in the Senate. Before Senator McCain was disabled, and we had an interim senator in Alabama, so we had all the seats full. We had 52 Republican senators. Senator Mitch McConnell could have forced his caucus to get rid of that 60 vote rule, and they could all they would have needed is a simple majority to pass a bill protecting these babies who are born alive after an abortion. And I would have dared a Republican to vote against that. And let's just say that Collins or Murkowski, you know, that they would vote against it. Well, that still puts you at 50 Republicans, and then you bring in the vice president, and you got 51. And so this stuff, I genuinely believe that we could have passed things like this last year when we controlled both houses and the White House. But guess what? Republicans were sitting on their hands. They were sitting on their hands. And so Mitch McConnell needs to answer for this. Number one, why do we still have the 60 vote rule, which log jams everything? And number two, why did we not bring this up 2 years ago? Why did we not bring this up 2 years ago? I think that would be a good question. And, you know, the whole idea that, well, you know, we need a simple majority to change the rules. Not really. Senator McConnell can unilaterally change the rules. I mean, look, we changed the rules with the Supreme Court justice. All we need is 51 votes. Are babies' lives not as important? Are babies' lives not as important? I think that's a question that should be asked. Todd in Louisiana. Todd, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Hey, Walker. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to piggyback on what you just said about, you know, senators and stuff. I mean, it's sad that your government is working against the people. And, you know, it should stop. But one more thing, I'm going to comment on abortion. They changed the word. I mean, it's murder. But people keep calling it abortion so they can cover up for the actual process of murder. Now, Roe v. Wade is never going to be changed because of the Supreme Court. I mean, if you got the split in the Supreme Court, how is it ever going to get changed? It's never going to get changed. Now, we have to look at ourselves in the mirror and say, are we going to still legalize murder? And,
sure. You
know, it's an easy choice.
Yeah.
And I'm going to hang up and listen, brother.
Yeah, appreciate it, Todd, in Louisiana there. Thank you for calling in. You know, Todd, I mean, I agree with you that it's an uphill battle to get this overturned. But, you know, I really am optimistic about this. And I'm a pretty realistic guy. You know, I'm not overly optimistic about a bunch of things if I don't think there's information there to back it up. But I am genuinely optimistic about overturning Roe versus Wade. And here's why I'm optimistic. President Trump has at least another year and a half to appoint another justice. And then if he wins again, he's got another 4 years. We could have a 6-3 or 7-2 conservative constitutional majority on the Supreme Court that could overturn Roe versus Wade. I genuinely believe that. And we have legislation in the pipelines that are aimed at overturning Roe v. Wade. Sandy Rios and the Morning, glad to be with you. Sandy will be back with you tomorrow. Stay tuned to American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.